Pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your kindness to us. And we pray that you would give us grace in our lives, that we would reflect that kindness. You would strengthen us by your Spirit and build us up now through your word. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, this time of year, of course, is a busy one for travel agents as people start to dream of warm, sunny summer holidays. Well, you might have heard the story about the travel agent in his shop who looked up from his desk one day and saw an older lady and an older man peering into the window. There were posters of glamorous destinations all over the world in that window. Well, the agent had had a good week, and he saw the dejected couple looking in the window, and it gave him a rare feeling of generosity. He called them into his shop. "I know that on a pension you're going to find it very, very difficult to be able to afford a holiday. So I'm going to send you to a fabulous resort at my own expense, and I won't take no for an answer." Well, he took them inside and he asked his secretary to arrange 2 flight tickets and book a room in a 5-star hotel. Well, the older lady and gentleman, as might be expected, gladly accepted, and they went off. Well, about a month later, the lady came into the travel agency. "And how did you like your holiday?" the travel agent asked eagerly. "The flight was exciting and the room was lovely," she said. "I've come to thank you. But one thing puzzled me. Who was that old guy I had to share the room with?" Well, that travel agent was not quite in full possession of the facts, but his attitude of generosity was very, very impressive. And of course, generosity is one of those qualities that is almost universally admired. Generosity is being concerned for others and being prepared to give to others something of yourself or what you own for their benefit. Generosity is helping others even when you have no promise of a return for yourself, and even if those you are seeking to be generous towards have done nothing to deserve it. Well, generosity is a key theme in our New Testament reading from the second letter to the Corinthians. We read of Christians there in a severe test of affliction, yet their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. Now, as we have our Thanksgiving Sunday and as we continue our Some Marks of Growth sermon series, the quality of generosity is a fitting one to dwell on. Well, the church in the Greek city of Corinth had been begun by the Apostle Paul. It was a church community that had gone on to face serious difficulties, however. These had caused all sorts of problems for them, and the root of them seems to have been that they were allowing the values and the ideas of the pagan society around them to influence them. And one of the outworkings of this was their worldly view of leadership. They'd become overly impressed by some new preachers who were saying that they were more impressive and important than Paul, who had brought the good news to them. Well, Paul has to correct the church family and call them back to the things of first importance. And he makes it clear that they have indeed gone wrong, but he's very positive about them in many ways as well, seeking to encourage them to a true view of the good news. Well, in chapter 8 that we had read for us from 2 Corinthians, it's on page 1164 if you want to have it open, 1164, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul wants to remind these believers of the agreement that they had made. This was to support financially their fellow Christians down in Jerusalem, Christians who had fallen on hard times due to opposition and persecution. So to encourage them to give, Paul uses with them the example of another church, the amazingly generous and yet poor Macedonian Christians. And as he does this, there are 2 important principles that it will be good to focus on. And the first is this, that Christian generosity is an expression of the generosity of God. Well, our reading tells this story of the generosity of a particular church, but interestingly, that is not where the Apostle Paul begins. Instead, he starts by speaking of the generosity of God himself. verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. You see, the ultimate reason for the generosity of the Christians in that region was God's grace. The favour and kindness of God, which he pours out even on those who don't deserve it. See, God had been at work in these people. They'd been brought to him despite their unpromising backgrounds and circumstances. And then having recognised how kind God had been to them, they were moved to be kind to others. And this is the key foundation principle. Whenever Christians and churches talk about money and giving money, churches may well have costs to meet, bills to pay, buildings to service, staff to support. It may be our duty in many ways to do this. But the giving that is generated to meet these costs is not a tax. It is not a membership fee. Of course, belonging to a church community is free. But rather, it is a response of grace for grace. Now, these believers up north of Corinth in the region of Macedonia demonstrated God's grace in a remarkable way. Things had been very tough for them, but they still wanted to give to others. Verse 2. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. They didn't have much to give in money or physical resources, but they knew that they had received much from God. In his generosity, they had received spiritual riches. And that inspired them to want to give what they could to others in a practical way. And so Paul explains verse 3, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favour, literally the grace, of taking part in the relief of the saints, their fellow Christians. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. So having first of all given themselves to the Lord Jesus because of God's grace to them through him, they wanted to share in encouraging and supporting others. Having received the grace of God in Jesus, they wanted to share in the privilege of being gracious and generous themselves. Now to make this even clearer, Paul uses an illustration of the grace of God. In fact, the illustration of the grace of God. That is Jesus and his death on the cross on behalf of others. So verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. The undeserved, generous kindness of God in Jesus to those who were helpless and undeserving is the supreme example and inspiration. Jesus, who was rich beyond imagining in that he was God, the eternal Son from all eternity, sharing the splendor and perfection of heaven, he became poor, taking human flesh and even dying a gruesome death by execution. And he did this that people like you and me, who are in ourselves poor, spiritually poor, unable to put things right with God and heading for an eternity outside the influence of our loving Maker, he did it so that we, people like us, might be made spiritually rich. That is, beneficiaries of God's many blessings in the forgiveness of our sins, a new spiritual life in relationship with God, the gift of the Holy Spirit making God's love ours, membership of the people of God, and the assurance of a heavenly future with him. What great wealth that is. Well, knowing this sort of gracious love, how can we not want to be generous and gracious to others? How can we not take seriously the needs of others? Not just physically, as we do so here with here at All Saints with our Disasters and Emergency Fund and the support of international mission partners who give medical and educational help, but also to support the work of the gospel itself, enabling the spread of the good news here in Ferriby, in the wider region as our church community is able to work well together. As we employ folks as staff to facilitate church development. As we support others in the area, including other local churches and Mark Tiddy through the Hunsley Christian Youth Trust. Indeed, this is our overriding purpose as a church. In the words of 1 Peter 2 that we sometimes use as a strapline, so that we can declare God's excellencies to our parish and beyond, praising God and helping others to hear of the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though through his becoming poor, others can be made spiritually rich. The writer John Stott sums up this principle well. Christian generosity is fundamentally an outflow of the generosity of God. But notice the second principle, and that is that Christian generosity is usually proportionate. When we're confronted with need, whether it's famine on the television news or we get a deeper glimpse of the spiritual need of people around us, it's easy for us just to feel guilty in some way or slightly overwhelmed. How can we make a difference? How much should we give? Well, the key principle we learn here is that Christian giving, out of response to God's grace in Jesus, should be proportionate to what we have. Having encouraged the Corinthians to fulfill the pledge that they'd made the year before to support the Jerusalem Christians, Paul adds verse 12, "For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have." You see, God knows our circumstances. He knows what sort of resources are available to us. He's aware of the sort of responsibilities we have. He understands what our income is, whether our family share our Christian commitment, who is dependent on us, and so on. Our giving will not be by comparison to others in different circumstances, but rather proportionate to, as Paul puts it, what a person has, not according to what he does not have. Now, this will obviously mean that different people and households will be able to give in different ways. And that is part of the joyful freedom of Christian giving. Being a Christian and a church member does not involve a financial subscription or a fee. But each of us can have the privilege, according to our means, commitments, and responsibilities, of sharing in the grace of giving. Now, for some, our financial contribution may be quite modest. Some, as Derek was saying, will be able to give time and prayer in different ways. Others still will be able to give quite a lot financially to support the work of the gospel. The New Testament letters to the Corinthians, of which this is the second one, are partly famous for their discussion of spiritual gifts, that is, the special abilities that God gives to his children to enable the body of Christ, the church, to work properly. Now, interestingly, it is the language of these spiritual grace gifts that Paul uses in verse 7. "But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also." It's the same term he uses for spiritual gifts. All Christians are called to be generous because we've received the generosity of God. But some, it seems, have a special gift of generosity. Perhaps because they've been entrusted with significant financial resources and have grace from God to make significant contributions to the work of the good news. But as Paul carries on, he gives us just another dimension before we reach our conclusion. Verse 13, "I do not mean that others should be eased and your but I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." See, Paul is saying there's no point in some giving so much that then they themselves become in need and hard-pressed. That would just be to reverse the situation. Rather, we should be looking for more fairness. Now, that is not a call to some kind of Soviet-style egalitarianism where everyone has to be the same and wear the same clothes and live in the same sort of accommodation. No, God has not cloned us. We're different and we have different resources and opportunities reflecting his diverse and varied creation. But there should be some measure of easing of need in some way as we share resources with others. And that will influence our giving to the physically poor, and our giving to help the spiritually poor, that they might discover the riches of Christ. And this, says Paul, is what the Old Testament people of God found in the desert. As it's written, verse 15, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Christian generosity, then, will generally be proportionate to the resources that we have. But just as we close, it is worth recognizing that when Paul concludes his encouragement to these Christians to give at the end of the next chapter of 2 Corinthians, it lasts two chapters, we see something fitting for our special focus today. So at the end of chapter 9, verse 11, we read, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." So you see, Christian generosity, reflecting the generosity of God himself in giving his Son, and based on the principle of appropriate proportionality, promotes thanksgiving to God himself. Christian giving leads not only to those who give being shown appreciation, but it leads to God himself being praised and thanked for his generosity. And that is a tremendous Christian motivation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've given to us. You've given all of us, by world standards, great physical resources. But we know that spiritually speaking, in Christ, you have blessed us enormously. And we pray that you'd give us grace in our lives to be generous in the ways that we can as we reflect your generosity to us. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.